You are listening to A Cup of Tea with the DBE, brought to you by the Daughters of the British Empire. The Daughters of the British Empire is a 501c3 non-profit American Society of Women of British or Commonwealth birth or ancestry, sharing and promoting our heritage while supporting local charities and our senior living facilities across the US.
Good afternoon and welcome to episode 19 of A Cup of Tea with the DBE. I'm going to keep things brief today as I have a kind of long episode. With all the winter storms that have just happened across the Midwest, it may not seem like it for many of us right now, but spring is just around the corner. So I'll be featuring another one of our gardens today, this time the British Cultural Garden in Cleveland, Ohio. So why don't you pour yourself a cup of tea and get comfortable? In 1896, John D. Rockefeller donated 254 acres of land, now known as Rockefeller Park, to the city of Cleveland in celebration of their first centennial. Within this park, the Cleveland Cultural Gardens were eventually established, the British Garden being the first in 1916. Representations of other peoples and cultures soon followed, including the African American Garden, the American Legion Peace Nations Garden, Armenian Garden, Chinese, Czech, Finnish, German, Greek, Hebrew, Indian, Latvian, Polish, Russian, Syrian, Turkish, and many others. New gardens are also in the works, including a Native American garden. Joining me today is Ronnie Pierce, who will tell us all about ongoing restoration of the garden, as well as Kathleen Williams, who will discuss the garden's rich history and cultural relevance within Cleveland. Here they are to introduce themselves.
My name is Kathleen Williams. I'm a member of the Heather and Rose chapter in Wadsworth, Ohio. I got involved in DBE in October of 2013. I had found a membership pin randomly in my grandmother's jewelry box. She had passed away, and I was going through her things and really didn't know anything about it. I Googled the organization, having no idea that they still existed, contacted the national board at that time, and they sent me Ronnie's information. She was president of Ohio at the time. And she sent me an email inviting me to come out to a meeting. And National was nice enough to research who the pin belonged to. It ended up belonging to my great grandmother, who was a member at a chapter that no longer exists here in Cleveland in the 1930s. I think it was called the Philip Snowden chapter. I got involved in the British Garden the next year, after the late, great Mary Hamlin fell and broke her hip, and reached out to the state board and let us know that she was going to need help taking care of the garden. And because I'm sort of local to the Cleveland area, I live in the southwest side, Cleveland, of course, where the garden is. Ronnie had asked me to take a ride up there and get a lay of the land. And that was how I got involved.
I'm known as Ronnie. Most people know me as Ronnie, but my real name's Veronica. And I joined DB back in 1970, probably, not long after I'd arrived here from England. And I belonged to the Sir James M. Barrie chapter for quite a number of years. And then I broke away from them and I started the Winston Churchill chapter just outside Toledo, not far from Toledo, Ohio. And I've been the president of Ohio and organizer, national organizer. I think I've been pretty much everything, except I won't be treasurer. I'm not very good with money. So, but I've enjoyed my trip with the DBE. And then I got involved with the garden. I was the only DBE person after Mary for a couple of years and did some of the work. Not worked in the garden, but I did the what we call One World Day. I did that on my own for 2 years running, and then got involved with Kathleen and another couple of other ladies, DBE ladies. And then it was getting too much for us, and a man called David Silk got in touch with me and told me what I needed to do. And I told him, I said, well, you're the one I need. You don't, you know, I'm asking you for help. So he belonged to the British American Chamber of Commerce. So he gradually brought other people in and formed the Garden Board. I think Kathleen can tell you the history more of the garden, and I'll bring you up to date.
David Silk came in really right at the right time, because Ronnie and I had started having conversations about the longevity of the DBE being able to care for the British Garden independently. And the British American Chamber of Commerce was willing to partner with the DBE, and together we founded a separate nonprofit, the British Cultural Garden Association, which now cares and maintains the garden, so that, God forbid, if anything ever happened to the DBE, or if numbers were to wane in the main area like Cleveland, we wouldn't have to worry about the garden dying out, because, you know, if anything ever happened to DBE, that was our biggest concern at that time.
William Shakespeare references around 175 plants throughout his numerous works. A Shakespeare garden is a garden that cultivates some or all of these plants, as well as others that were prominent during the Elizabethan era. Benches, busts, and plaques featuring relevant quotations about the plants are also common. Shakespeare gardens can be found in Australia and New Zealand, South Africa, Germany and Austria, Canada, and in many states across the U.S., including New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Connecticut, California, Oregon, Colorado, Illinois, and of course, Ohio. Where's the nearest one to your chapter?
So the first thing that's really unique about the British Garden in Cleveland is that it is a true Shakespeare garden. So Shakespeare garden is just like what it sounds like. It has the plants and celebrates the plants that are in Shakespeare's plays. The thing that's really unique about it is that it was formed in 1916, which means that it was put in place for the 300th anniversary of Shakespeare's death day. You guys both know, coming originally from Europe, death days are a big thing there. That's not something that a lot of the American-borns like myself are really aware of. And at that time, New Place, which is Shakespeare's home in Stratford-upon-Avon, had said, if you're going to celebrate the 300th death day of Shakespeare, we really want you to plant a Shakespeare garden. And there are very few of them that are still surviving to today. And we're lucky enough to have one of them in Cleveland. You might remember a few years ago in 2016, when it was 400 years, they picked Sir Ian McKellen to come out and set a year of Shakespeare on film. They said that was how we were going to celebrate. So lots changed, obviously, in 100 years. But the garden was really started by a group of thespians in Cleveland that really wanted to recreate Poets' Corners. But unfortunately, they had more vision than they had money. And the only corner they ever got done was Shakespeare's. The way that it sits in Cleveland, it used to be Liberty Avenue. Now it's Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It's at the top of a hill. And it's the only garden that goes from the top of the hill at East Boulevard all the way down the hill to Martin Luther King. We're actually across the street. We have sort of a unique position compared to the other gardens. But they had at one time intended to carve out that hillside and use it as like a natural amphitheater. Because of course, at this point in Cleveland's history, this was not the main thoroughfare that it is now. For the history buffs, they might be interested to know it's actually in Rockefeller Park. And yeah, I mean, John D. Rockefeller, he donated the land to the city for them to get this project started. But by 1934, the Cleveland City Council had gotten involved, and some other gardens had cropped up. The main guy was really Leo Weidenthal, who was a city executive at the time and a prominent member of the Jewish community in Cleveland. And the Jewish garden is actually across the street and down one from where the British garden is. And they got the petition together to turn all of these gardens into what we now know as the Cleveland Cultural Garden, with the idea that there would be room for the gardens to expand, that new gardens could come into place, that all of them would have non-political figures at their center. So they would kind of follow the idea of what we have right now, people that celebrate arts and culture in those gardens, which of course we set with the Shakespeare Garden, that the Shakespeare Garden would be renamed the British Garden, and that all of these cultural organizations would look after the gardens. And that's how DBE was named the official caregivers of the British Garden in Cleveland. That happened in 1934-ish.
And at that time, Cleveland had probably 14 or 15 DBE chapters with at least 20 odd members in it. And a lot of them were, moneyed people who could keep the garden going, probably pay for people to come in and do the garden. But gradually these chapters have dwindled away, and it came to one chapter, and then it came to one person. I just thought it was important to let them know that.
Cleveland has changed so much, and we've, like all the major cities in the United States, it certainly had its ups and downs. And, Mary Hamlin, who I mentioned earlier, who was a long, long time member in DBE in Cleveland, was basically the sole caregiver of the British Garden for like 35 to 40 years. For several years, the original statue of Shakespeare was lost, basically to the weather, because it was made out of marble. So it was really too soft to be left out in harsh Cleveland winters, even before acid rain. Things get a little rough with the weather around here. So they made a new cast bronze statue that sits on top of a marble plinth. And Shakespeare's bust lived in her garage for close to a decade because of the blight that was happening in Cleveland. And a lot of the gardens had been ransacked and vandalized. And I mean, there are things that are missing out of the British Garden that we know from historical records should be there, or we can clearly see that, there's a big boulder with holes drilled in it. We know there was a plaque there, but the plaque is gone. But, that's part of having things that are in essentially a public park and a very highly trafficked area. But we're really lucky that Cleveland's been going through a huge renaissance. There's a real interest in history and historical preservation in Cleveland that we haven't had here for a long time. And it really worked out at a great time for us with the British Garden, because that's brought a lot of resources and a lot of interest, not only to the British Garden, but to the Cleveland Cultural Gardens as a whole. The other reason why Leo Weidenthal is really kind of essential to the cultural gardens is because he's literally the man who wrote the book on them. From Dis Wagon, D-I-S Wagon, which is a line from Shakespeare, is the name of the book that he wrote that outlines the history of the original cultural gardens. He's the reason why we know what happened on opening day at the British Garden. Ethel Barrymore, the First Lady of American Theater, cut the red ribbon on the day that it opened, April 14th, 1916, which was absolutely incredible. And we had a lot of local schools had come out and done, of course, Shakespearean renditions and had different readings and things. It was quite the festive event. And I can speak for both Ronnie and I when I say we were really excited to get to be a part of the 100th anniversary celebration in 2016 for the centennial at the British Garden. That was quite the event. We had the Maypole dancers. We had
Shakespeare.
We had Shakespeare, of course. Of course, we had Shakespeare. And we had pipers.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. We had the pipers procession. And
we had afternoon tea.
That's right. That's right. Cupcakes and cream tea.
Yes. Kathleen hasn't mentioned, but it is obviously the oldest garden, but it's also the biggest garden there. It's 5 acres. Wow. And we were down to just 3 or 4 DBE ladies who had not a chance to keep that garden going. I mean, it was very, very badly neglected. Mary tried her hardest. She would start at one end of the garden weeding, and by the time she got to the other end, it was time to start all over again. And then every year we have this, all the gardens participate, called One World Day. And it's thousands, I don't know how many people, but thousands of people come through. Do you know?
Usually about 20,000 people come through every year on average.
And so they have what they call a passport, and they bring it to each garden, and somebody signs it or stamps it so that they know they've visited Great Britain or they've visited whichever country they've been to. It's quite exciting. And one of the One World Days, we've had the cutout of the Queen We weren't too sure how that would go over, but it was amazing. Even the men were lining up to have their pictures taken with the Queen. And then in recent years, we've had Meghan and Harry, and people have had their pictures with them. We've had the Maypole dance. I think we had that at the 100th too, Maypole dancing.
We did, yeah. Yes. We've had Morris dancers. We've had those English country dancers at the One World Day.
That's right. And also we had a game. It was all set out on the grass. And we didn't think it would go over very well, but people loved it. They were lining up to play it. It was called
Nine Man's Morris.
Yeah, I think so.
It's been a few years.
And then Sally Goodall, she's the president on the board now. She would make hats out of cardboard and flowers, and she didn't think that too much about it, but people were lining up to donate money towards that as well. It's just amazing what a few people can do. But we're still very short on money. We're you know, hoping to have some fundraisers this year. One of the exciting things that has happened, we never mentioned about the sundial that's in disrepair, and we managed to find a replica, but we had to buy it from England because over here, most of the companies in America buy their sundial bases from England. And that arrived, that came from door to door, and it was $1,534, and that included delivery. And it came right to a board member's door from the United Kingdom. So that was a big plus. And we're going to move it because right at the moment, it's in an area where there's big trees. Because when it was first put in, there was hardly any trees, or they were small. Well, of course, the sundial needs sun, and there's too many trees around it where it is now. So we have a pathway that leads right up to Shakespeare, and they have decided that they would have it halfway up to Shakespeare with ornamental shrubbery around it and some benches around it. And it'll be quite a focal point, I think. I'm quite excited about it.
And it's going to be in memory of a DBE member in Ohio
that's
passed.
One of our DBE members has died unexpectedly, and quite a few people donated money in her name. So we'll be getting a plaque for that, and we're hoping to have a plaque for Mary Hamlin on one of our benches because of all the work that she has done. DBE ladies have been asking me, well, what can we do for the garden? And so it's the Queen's Platinum Jubilee this year. And I think over in England, they were going to have trees planted to commemorate the Jubilee. Well, so we in the garden thought that we would like to do something, but we don't really need a great big tree. So we were talking about maybe an ornamental tree for the garden, and it would be, you know, to commemorate the Jubilee. And I do have the names of them here and some of the prices. Also, people were asking about benches. Some of the gardens have had a lot of benches destroyed by, you know, vandals. The board have decided they're going to go more for benches that are made of some sort of concrete. It doesn't sound very nice, but at least they will last and they'll be there. But they're quite expensive. $3,200 sounds like a lot of money to me, but we want them to last. We don't want them to be vandalized.
Well, and we don't want them to break down in the weather either, which is probably a concern for members that live all over the country because everybody's got strong weather now. But it's a big thing here in Cleveland because we get so much snow. So we have to have something that can handle not only being out in four seasons, but taking a lot of use, not only in the public park, but being able to handle that kind of weight, sitting on it for long, long periods of time. And I think it's also important to mention, because we have had members ask, especially members that maybe visited the garden during the national convention in 2014 and had a tour from Mary Hamlin. They have asked about memorial pavers because that was a fundraiser we were successfully able to do at the Midwest home, Cantata in Chicago. But we are not able to do memorial pavers in the cultural gardens because of the bylaws that the Cleveland Cultural Gardens Federation has in place. We are able to do memorial benches. So if someone wanted to sponsor a bench, Like we had mentioned about Ohio wanting to sponsor one for Mary Hamlin, you know, that is definitely an option if there are members that are looking to give to the British Garden, because of course we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We made sure that when the British Cultural Garden Association was put in place, that it would have the same status that DBE does, so that DBE could continue to contribute at the level that we have, not only with our time, but of course with funding.
If your chapter is interested in sponsoring a tree or a bench or wants to send bulbs or gardening tools, please send me an email, podcast@dbenational.org, and I can provide more details on those items and costs and help you coordinate with the British Garden. And if you're interested in notable visitors of or gifts to the garden, here's Kathleen to talk a bit more about that.
For people that were at the garden at the National Convention in 2014, a lot has changed. There used to be two beds that sort of ran the length of that walk up to Shakespeare that Ronnie had mentioned earlier, which really starts down at Martin Luther King. And we've got this beautiful iron gate and stairs that go up through the woods and a lot of ivy. The big historical plantings that we've had over the years have really been trees, which is disappointing because with Dutch elm disease in the 90s, and then the emerald ash borrowers, we've lost all of the elm and all of the ash trees that had been planted. We still have an oak that was grown from a sapling sent from the Her Majesty's Royal Oak Forest that was planted by DBE and I believe the English-speaking Union for the anniversary of the Queen's coronation. We have plantings from some Canadian playwrights that are still with us in the garden. And we have trees from the Birnam Wood, which Macbeth fans will recognize from the famous prophecy for Macbeth. Those are probably the biggest things that have survived. We've had a lot of really important people that have been in the garden or have donated to the garden. I mentioned Ethel Barrymore earlier. Robert Mandel was the gentleman who donated the sundial that Ronnie had mentioned earlier in 1917. He was a big American playwright at that time. We've had Sir Albert Tree, name notwithstanding about the garden reference, but he's actually the founder of the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. He donated an ivy planter. The planter itself has been lost. The column is still there. He also sent over a sapling, or I should say a cutting, from the mulberry tree that we know Shakespeare planted at New Place. But unfortunately, that tree died a few years ago. I'm going to butcher this name, and I apologize. I believe his last name is pronounced Tagore, Rabindranath Tagore. He's was an Indian poet known as the Shakespeare of India. He actually donated the ivy planter that would have been on the right of Shakespeare. So in its time, it was really quite a big thing to have so many people of prominence coming in and wanting to be involved in the garden. In the 50s, the Librarian of Congress came out and put a plaque in the garden. So that prominence continued really until we kind of started to see the blight in public spaces. And we're hoping to be able to bring some of that back. Ronnie had mentioned to you about the sundial earlier that the new sundial has been moved out of that place. So when you think about the garden, it's really set in an Elizabethan style in that the garden was originally planted in four quadrants. And where you had the cross section about halfway up, the new sundial will be right in the center of that cross section. To the left, it was almost like apses in a church on the left and right side. So if you went to that cross section and turned left, walked all the way down, you would have come to the sundial. And that's where the original base and the two remaining pillars are still standing. If you would have gone to the center and you would have turned right, it would have taken you to a special planting where the mayor of Verona, of course, from Italy, sent roses, the roses that grow at Juliet's tomb to Cleveland. But they don't really do very well in our winter. So I've been told that they're at the Cleveland Botanical Gardens where they're kept indoors now. I'm hoping that we'll be able to partner with them going forward to make sure that those roses are taken care of. Another interesting fact, we had one of those trees from the Birnam Wood that came down in a storm quite a long time ago. And that tree was carved into a chair, which is now at the Cleveland Public Library. we have sort of pieces of the garden all over the city, which is kind of great.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting. I didn't know that either.
Oh, I'm full of useless information, Ronnie.
Yes, I guess you are. Because I think it's really exciting that the DBE has been involved with this garden. So, you know, I feel like it still belongs to DBE, even though it doesn't belong, but it's something to be proud of. We hope that we can become even more proud of it as the years go by, but it's just going to die out if we don't have the support of the rest of the DBE and the rest of the United States. You know, you think of a British garden, an English garden. This garden is laid out differently, and it's because it's in the Cleveland area. We can't have the garden exactly laid out like a typical British garden. But eventually, it's going to look really, really good. I know it is. But we do need the help of the DBE members. And if they could, you know, take it upon themselves to maybe decide they'd like to sponsor a bench or even sponsor one of these trees or even some, we've been planting daffodils where the ivy is, and that will be beautiful, and you know, when all the daffodils are out, and people could, you know, even a small chapter could donate some daffodil bulbs. There's lots of different things that they could do. And sometimes, you know, we need rakes and things like that to rake up all the leaves. It's surprising. It would be a shame to lose it and DBE not be involved with it anymore. I think there's something we can be proud of.
And the good news is we're really not at risk of losing the garden anymore. That was really a concern when Ronnie and I became involved, because there is a clause in the bylaws for the Cultural Gardens Federation that if you're not active in your garden for 5 years, that garden can be revoked, because there are countries that are waiting to have a garden put in. And now that we have something like 30 gardens in Cleveland, while Rockefeller gave a lot of land, there's a finite amount of space as far as how many gardens, you know, can be put in. The fact that we have the biggest garden.
We already gave part of our garden away to the Czechoslovakian country.
I know we had talked to the Welsh at one time. We talked to the Scots at another time. We're really not at risk of losing the garden anymore. The biggest concern is that we have plans in place that have been approved by everybody, you know, the association, the federation, the city. It's just that we need money to get those things done. And while we've been able to negotiate with contractors and get discounts and all these kinds of things, because we're a nonprofit, it is going to take time to get the rest of the work done. So I think when it comes to, you know, thinking long-term about the garden, we've had such an illustrious history. And this thing has had 4 or 5 different incarnations over time of new groups, you know, new generations of DBE coming in and wanting to get involved. And it would be wonderful if by 2034, when we have our centennial of taking care of the garden, if we could really show plaques that go all the way back to 1916 and 1917. And we've had more things added by DBE in the 30s and the 50s and the 70s. If we could show our generation's work in the garden as well, I think that would be a really beautiful thing.
Yes, that sounds wonderful. It really does.
That's all I have for this week. I hope your chapter might find the time to visit Cleveland this summer for a bit of weeding and a tour, or to show up in full force for the One World Day Parade in August. Tune in next time to hear all about the Queen's Green Canopy Project and get inspired for your own tree plantings as we ramp up to celebrate the Platinum Jubilee this summer. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on Pinterest and Goodreads. So until next time, not ourselves, but the cause.